If you'll take your scriptures in hand and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28, we're continuing our series, A New Life, A New Walk, and this morning's message is titled, Stop, Thief, Stop. You know, police more and more are using Facebook to catch criminals, and the news has reported numerous cases where police have captured thieves because they posted selfies with the stolen items. And they really should be featured on the reality series, America's Dumbest Criminals. Theft is a crime that pervades society today. We would be hard-pressed to find someone whose life has not been affected by theft, from a purse snatching, a burglary, a car broken into, a fraudulent charge, identity theft, your lunch stolen out of the refrigerator, or the higher prices that we pay at the store to cover theft loss through shoplifting. It is a major societal problem. Every year, millions of dollars of goods and services are stolen throughout this country. According to the U.S. Department of Commerce, 4 million people are caught shoplifting every year, but for every one caught, 35 go free. That means that there are over 140 million incidents of shoplifting in the U.S. annually. The Department of Commerce further estimates that 75% of all employees steal at least once, and half of these steal repeatedly, costing businesses $50 billion per year. It is projected that one of every three business failures is the direct result of employee theft. There are several other employee practices labeled intangible crimes that potentially double the losses of business every year. These are things such as theft of time, when you call in sick and you aren't, or having someone else to punch the time clock for you, making personal phone calls, posting, tweeting, and shopping online while you're on the clock. Getting awful quiet in here. Robert Half Personnel Agencies calculated that time theft costs the U.S. economy $70 billion per year. Employee time theft costs $70 billion per year. And we are paying for it somewhere, folks. Because what the companies lose, they make up for in the things they charge us for. And that's just looking at a couple of kinds of theft. And it's already apparent that stealing is a major problem in our society today. In Ephesians 4, Paul addresses the issue of stealing as he urges believers that we need to live in a manner that is morally distinct from the world, telling us that we must not walk or live like the ungodly do, like we used to do before we knew Christ. Instead, we must put off the old self with its sinful ways of thinking and behaving and put on the new self by being renewed in our thinking and living differently. Paul uses a series of contrasting statements to illustrate or to show some of the specific changes that must be evident if we are truly walking in newness of life. We've already looked at two of those illustrations. First, he says we must put off lying and speak the truth. Then last week we saw we must put off the sin of anger and holding grudges, and we must resolve issues quickly with a heart disposed to forgive. Then he deals with the issue of stealing in verse 28. He says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their hands that they may have something to give to those in need. You know, a large segment of the Roman population were day laborers or skilled tradesmen who did seasonal work, and they barely earned enough to support themselves or their family. And in that day, there was no government assistance, there was no welfare, no unemployment, so people often and commonly referred to stealing to sustain themselves and their families. It was common practice. It was normal in that society. It was acceptable in that society. And although some had gotten saved, they continued to live according to the ethical standards of the culture of their day. So they're saved, they're in church, but they're continuing to lie, they're continuing to get angry and hold grudges and take revenge, and they're continuing to steal. And we can quickly say today, as we tune out, a message on stealing, this doesn't apply to me. But we need to remember that Paul is writing to Christians. He's not writing to sinners in the world. This letter is addressed to the church. He is writing to Christians. And he's telling church members, stop stealing. Paul says that stealing in any shape or form is incompatible with the Christian life. And that means putting off the old thinking and lifestyle that tolerated or practiced any form of stealing or cheating that we have described and others that might fit in this category, and putting on a renewed way of thinking and acting that is not focused on taking, but on working hard so that we not only have to meet our needs, but so that we can be generous to give as well. A complete opposite of the worldly, selfish, fleshly attitude that we had before we knew Christ and by which the world operates. So as we look at this passage of Scripture, the first thing that we see, the first truth, is that Christians must stop stealing. Christians must stop stealing. And as I said, stealing covers a wide scope of activity. Some of the more obvious forms of stealing are things like robbery, burglary, embezzlement, and shoplifting. And we all say, amen. I don't do any of those things, but hold your horses. There are more subtle forms of stealing, like what we described earlier, time theft. There's other forms of subtle stealing, like taking supplies from our job, pens, paper, paperclip, copies. Another form of stealing, overinflating deductions and underreporting income on our taxes. There are so many things that fall into this category of stealing. I read a humorous memo that a company recently issued to all of its employees. So what the memo read, it said, effective immediately, we are asking that somewhere between starting and quitting time, and without infringing too much on your lunch, coffee breaks, rest periods, storytelling, ticket selling, vacation planning, and the rehashing of yesterday's TV programs, that each employee endeavor to find some time that can be set aside, known as a work break. The memo went on to say, this may seem like a radical innovation, but we believe the idea has great possibilities. It can conceivably be an aid to steady employment, and it might also be a means of assuring a regular paycheck. While the adoption of the work break plan is not compulsory, it is hoped that each employee will find enough time to give the plan a fair trial, the management. A humorous, but sadly, true state of affairs. I know most of us here have never robbed a bank, we've never shoplifted or taken someone's wallet, but according to the Bible, God considers a lot of other activities as stealing. And we're just going to look at a few of them. When you borrow something and you don't return it, or you return it broken, God considers it stealing. In Leviticus 6:3, he tells us that finding something and not returning it is considered stealing. Like, you know, you find out you got too much change at the register and you don't return it. Ooh, it's awful quiet in here. Borrowing money as a personal loan or on credit and not repaying it. Ooh, it's quiet in here. Here's a good one. Failing to pay our tithes. The Bible says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. You ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offering. Ooh. Here's another one. Matthew 22:21. Failing to pay what we owe in our taxes. Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. Today we'd say, render unto Uncle Sam what belongs to Uncle Sam. Another good one. When you don't give your employer a full day's work And he tells us this twice in Scripture in Ephesians 6 and Colossians 3. He tells us that we have to work diligently. You ought to be the best employee that your employer has as a Christian. And you need to give yourself. He says we need to give ourselves and work diligently in our job, not as a men pleaser, just when our boss is watching, but realizing that God is watching all the time. And that ultimately our reward is not the paycheck at the end of the week, but our reward comes from God. So, you know, we need to cut out all of that, you know, shopping on Amazon and, you know, booking our vacation, checking Facebook 10 times during the day. Hallelujah. If you're on the clock, that time belongs to your employer. Awful quiet in here. Many other things that apply in giving your employer a full day's work. It includes not calling in sick if you're not sick. It includes taking more than our allotted time for break. If your break is 15 minutes, your break is 15 minutes. It includes, as we have said, using work time for personal calls, for online shopping. Hallelujah. Now, these are just some of the things that God's word condemns as the sin of stealing. And so we can see that stealing covers a wide variety of activity. And none of us are guilty of any of these things. Amen. Reach up and polish your halo. Hallelujah. Awful quiet in here. Now, why do people do these things? Well, first of all, stealing is a result of laziness. The Bible repeatedly denounces laziness. Proverbs 10:4, lazy men are soon poor, hard workers get rich. Proverbs 13:4, lazy people want much but get little while the diligent are prospering. Proverbs 24, if you won't plow, you won't eat. And 2 Thessalonians 3:10 is very clear. You don't work, you don't eat. The person who takes what does not rightfully belong to him, the person who cheats their employer, the person who cheats on his taxes, is trying to profit or benefit from the labors of someone else because they are not willing to put in the hard work. And in our society, there's an entire subculture of people who have a sense of entitlement that the world owes them a living. That the world owes them. That's why there's a lot of criminals out on the street stealing other people's stuff that they've worked hard for because they feel the world owes them. That's why there's a lot of people receiving welfare, unemployment, or disability who are able to work. But they feel that the world owes them a living. Laziness is an abomination to the Lord. You cannot please God and be lazy. 2 Thessalonians 3:6 through 9 says this, stay away from any Christian who spends his days in laziness and does not follow the ideal of hard work that we set up for you. For you shall well know that you ought to follow our example. You never saw us loafing. We never accepted food from anyone without buying it. We worked hard day and night for the money we needed to live on in order that we would not be a burden to any. It wasn't that we didn't have the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to show you firsthand how you should work for your living. No Christian, he says, is ever to be lazy. We need to be working hard. Working hard. Working hard. You know, I saw several years ago when the recession hit and the unemployment benefits were extended out, and I actually heard people saying, oh, well, yeah, I'm not even looking for a job right now. I'm taking a vacation. Because the unemployment, now I know it was hard to get employment back then, but we ought to be looking. Not just saying, well, the government extended unemployment benefits, so, you know, I can just sit back, you know. Another reason for stealing is a result of a lust for more, what we call greed, or what the Bible calls greed. The reason stealing is so prevalent is because people want what they do not have, but they don't want to have to work for it. Paul warned that for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and brought shipwreck to their own souls. Even Christians can be driven by greed and end up doing sinful things in the pursuit of more. I've seen Christians get caught up in internet schemes where they beg, borrow, and take money to send it to someone who claims to own an oil well or a diamond mine in some country on the other side of the world. And if they will invest, they will get 500% return on investment. Folks, if it's too good to be true, then it's too good to be true. It ain't true. And once they get you to send money one time, they know they've got a patsy. And they're going to milk you for all it's worth. And these scams are increasing. Greed is a sin that leads to many other evils. And then stealing is a result of a lack of trust in God. A person who steals is not satisfied with what God has provided for them. They don't trust that God can take care of them, so they're going to take things into their own hands. They're going to get what they want, even if they have to disobey God in doing it. You know, like running up a credit bill that we know we can't pay. Instead of trusting God that He'll give us what we need, we say, well, I'll get what I want. And then afterward, when we got $10,000 in consumer debt, we come to this altar. Oh, God, help me. Oh, Jesus, please help me pay this bill. And it's all because we wanted more than we had and we weren't trusting God that He's sufficient to provide for what we need. And then stealing is a lack of love for others. We are commanded to love our neighbor as ourselves. If we love someone, how can we steal from them or cheat from them? We certainly wouldn't want it done to us, so we shouldn't do it to others. So the first thing that we learn from this passage of Scripture is that Christians must stop stealing. But the second thing that we learn from this passage of Scripture, Christians must work hard. Verse 28, the second part of the verse, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Folks, God ordained for us to work. And God Himself is a diligent or hard worker. In John 5:17, Jesus said, my Father is working always. He is working to this very day, and I too am working. Work is an activity that God engages in, and we've been created in His image to be His co-workers, and He gives us the ability and the responsibility to manage what He has created. God established work. In Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it. And to take care of it. And that was before sin entered the garden. Work is not the curse of sin. The fruitlessness and meaninglessness and toil of work is the curse of sin. But work itself was given to man for purpose before sin entered the garden. As a loving father, God didn't want Adam and Eve to have everything for nothing because He knows that that spoils us. Parents sometimes unwittingly, out of a desire to give their kids what they didn't have growing up, give their kids everything. And they're not taught the value of work, and they're not taught the value of responsibility, and they don't have to do chores, and they don't have to get a part-time job when they become teens. There's a caveat there that if you encourage your kid to get a part-time job as a teen, it should not be allowed to conflict with church, because if you allow that, then you're teaching them that when they become an adult and work full-time, that it's okay to put their job ahead of God. You want to teach them the value of work, but you want to teach them to honor God first, above all else. But when you give your kids everything and they don't have to work for anything, it cultivates a sense of entitlement, where they think they should be given everything for nothing. I've seen kids who have been given everything and their parents have even paid their way to college, and because they didn't have to lift a finger, they take advantage, they don't appreciate the privilege that has been given to them, and they go off to college and they party and they don't study and they just squander thousands of dollars that their parents have invested in them because they don't appreciate it. They don't appreciate it. You know, my sister and I, my parents loved us, but financially they were not able to help us. My sister and I, we had to work to put our way through college. And when we were paying for it, you better believe we were going to pay attention. And we were going to study. So sometimes we unwittingly spoil our kids by giving them everything for nothing. But God is not an indulgent parent that spoils us, giving us everything for nothing. God, as a loving father, knew that he needed to teach Adam and Eve the value of work. Work gives us purpose. Work makes us productive. Work brings a sense of accomplishment and satisfaction. And it causes us to appreciate what we have. Several years ago, I was having a conversation with a lady that used to attend here, and she had two young men, two boys, which, as they were early teens, they always wanted the name brand stuff, the name brand jeans and the expensive kicks, the athletic shoes that cost $150 and everything like that. And they were always complaining and wanting this stuff. And when they turned 16, she said, if you want that stuff, you're going to have to go out and work for it. And so one day she said that, the first time they went out shopping after they had a job, they didn't want the Walmart. They didn't want the expensive shoes, and they didn't want the expensive jeans now that they had to pay for it. And they were buying their jeans at Walmart. And they didn't want to spend $150 on a pair of shoes. They were buying the bargain shoes because now it was coming out of their wallet. Work gave them an appreciation for the value of money. Working is important. It's not a message on parenting, but it is a good illustration of why God wants us to work hard. God commands work. Exodus 20, verse 8, the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, but the other side of the commandment is 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. God wants us to work, but he also wants us to put him first. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy, work the other 6 days. God commands us to work, but he doesn't want us to be consumed by our work. And there's some people that they get working and they get consumed with, okay, I want this car, I want this house, and I want to be able to go here, and I want to be able to do this, and they have to work more, and they have to work more, and they have to work more in order to support the lifestyle. And before you know it, they're consumed by work, and God gets pushed to the back burner. God says, put me first, and then work the other 6 days. Put me first. We need to remember that there is a higher purpose for which we live. And then God expects us to work diligently. In Ephesians 4:28, he uses the word labor, translated in some versions as work, but it means to work to the point of exhaustion, to become weary by working. And this is a command, not a suggestion. God says you're supposed to work so hard that it tires you out. You ought to work so hard for your employer that it tires you out. God expects us to give 100% effort to our work. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever your hand finds to do it with all of your might. Don't give your employer a halfway job. We need to give our employer a full day's work for a full day's pay. We need to work for our employer wholeheartedly, the scripture says, as if we're doing it unto God. Because God is the one that's watching. The scripture says, and ultimately God is the one that's going to judge or reward. And then finally, we find that God blesses hard work. God rewards diligent labor. When we work for employer diligently, God rewards us. In Ephesians 6, 7, and 8, it says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. Whoo! When you go to work, you're not working for your boss. You're doing it for the Lord. And when you do your job diligently and you become the best employee that your employer has, it is a testimony unto the Lord. So when you go to work, you're supposed to be working not like you're doing it for your job and, oh, I don't like my job and, oh, I don't like my boss and, oh, I don't, this company is a... No, you're doing it unto the Lord. You're doing it unto the Lord. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one of you for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. In this case, the dynamic he's speaking about is a slave serving his master. And he says, you do it wholeheartedly unto the Lord. Of course, we don't deal with slavery in our society today, but the application would be in regard to the employee and their work towards their employer. And he says, ultimately, the reward comes from God. Proverbs contrasts the benefit of hard work with the results of laziness. He says, he becomes poor that deals with a slack hand. If you're lazy, you become poor. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. The hand of the diligent makes rich. Again, the scripture says, he that tills his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that follows after vain persons shall have poverty enough. The Bible repeatedly encourages the importance of hard work, and God will prosper those that work hard. And then thirdly and finally, what we learn from this passage of scripture is that Christians must give. The third part of verse 28 says that he may have to give, to not only meet his needs, but to give to them that need. You see, what God is saying here, the reason that we need to make this shift from taking and to working hard, taking what doesn't belong to working hard, is because as a Christian, there is a heart change that takes place inside of us. And that heart change moves us from selfishness, which characterizes the sinful heart, to selflessness and generosity, which characterizes the Christ-like heart. So the reason that we need to put off stealing and put on hard work is because a change of heart has made us selfless, generous people. And that is evidenced in our giving. And giving honors God with the fruit of our labor. Giving our tithes and offerings is a recognition of the fact that God is the one who gives us the ability to work and produce wealth. In Proverbs 3:9, he says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. So giving to the Lord honors God as the supply, the provider of all that we have. And giving to others is a testimony to Christ. The Bible says that when we give to others, we are lending to the Lord. When we give to those that are in need, we are lending to the Lord. So giving honors God. And then giving is the ultimate reason for work. That was awful quiet. Giving is the ultimate reason for work. Not getting a 60-inch, now they have some 4D TV, something another that is higher def than any of the high def that they've had so far. You know, working is not so that we can get bigger, better, newer all the time. Not that there's anything wrong with having those things, but the ultimate purpose of working is not more, because then we're just feeding that fleshly attitude of greed. The ultimate purpose, the ultimate reason for work is giving. God wants us to work, yes, to provide for our needs and for our family, but the ultimate reason for work is so that we will be generous, so that we will give. And this runs counter to our fleshly nature. It runs counter to our sinful nature, which is selfish, and our culture, which is constantly encouraging us that you need more, you need better, you need bigger, you need newer. That's the message of our culture. Just listen to the commercials. Jesus warned against that kind of mentality in the parable of the rich man. The rich man had a good crop, and he decided, I'm going to build bigger barns so that I can store up more for myself. And he said to himself, self, you have plenty stored up for many years. Take it easy and enjoy yourself. Do you hear how many times self is in here? But God said to him, you fool. Tonight your life will be required of you, and whose will all of this be then? You see, that attitude of more, bigger, better, newer, all for me, is not pleasing to God. And there should be a heart change that takes place inside of us when we receive Christ that moves us from that greedy, self-centered, more, mine, nicer, newer, bigger,
That's right.
To a heart of selflessness. Wow. That wants to give, that wants to be generous. And that is the change that Christ brings in our heart. You see, giving guards against the fleshly attitude of greed and selfishness. And giving honors God. When Paul says, anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they might have something to share with those in need. Paul is talking to Christians. Now, I think that even unbelievers, normal unbelievers, would agree in principle with God's word. Because our society condemns various forms of stealing. That's why there are penalties for robbery, for shoplifting, for pickpocketing, for embezzlement. Even our society agrees. That doesn't mean everybody abides by it, but our society agrees that these things are wrong. So even unbelievers agree in principle with God, with God's word. But the practice of it is another question. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, have we put off our old self with its stealing and cheating and selfish desire for more, 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 bigger, better, newer? Have we put off our old self with that selfishness of, I'm going to take time for me and call in sick? I'm going to shop for me and rob my employer of 1 or 2 hours of work. I'm going to take a 30-minute break instead of a 15-minute break. Have we put off the old self? And are we putting on the new self?
Thank you, Jesus.
Which works diligently for employer as if for God. And which has a selfless and generous spirit to give. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Because your word is true. And your word is convicting. Because it disturbs our comfort in doing things that are not pleasing to God. But that we have become familiar with, acceptable with. And Lord God, we pray that your word would cut to the very core of our being today. And that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you will bring conviction upon our souls and show us any area in which we have not yet put off the old self in regard to stealing. In regard to greed, in regard to taking what is not ours, if it's even time. And Lord, I pray that this morning we would consecrate ourselves to you to become the best employee our employer has, that it might be a testimony unto your name, because we're doing it for you and not for them. And that we would put off our old selfish nature and we would put on the new selfless nature. A nature that is created in the image of Christ. A nature that gives and gives generously. Lord, do this work in us in Jesus' name. If you're here today and you could feel that tug at your heart when I described any of these things that fall into the category of stealing. You could feel a tug in your heart to say, that's me. And this morning you want to put that away. And you want to say, God, I put off that old self, that old way of thinking. And I put on the new self, created in righteousness and true holiness. I stop that old way of thinking. And I develop a new way of thinking in Christ. To work hard for my employer as if I'm working for you, and to not have a selfish attitude of more, 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 but to have a selfless attitude to give and to give generously. If that's you this morning, I just want to invite you to come to this altar. Come to this altar and speak to the Lord. Don't sit back because of pride, because pride is an abomination to the Lord. But the Bible says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. Come to this altar. Repent of anything that could fall into the category of stealing as we have described. And consecrate yourself to God today to say, Lord, I put off that old way. I put off that old way. Hallelujah. As we're at this altar, let's talk to the Lord from our hearts. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these that have been humble enough and honest enough to come and stand before your presence and say, that's me, Lord. Your word is speaking to me. And Father, as we come before you at this altar, we humbly confess and we ask your forgiveness. And at this altar, we commit ourselves to put on a new way of life in Christ Jesus. A way that will deal honestly. A way that will work diligently. Not just for our selfish purposes, but so that we might give. Let your heart be formed in us. And by the power of your Holy Spirit, recreate us more and more each day. In true righteousness and holiness, so that our lives may be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to